Hello, thank you very much. Thank you for joining this talk. We have just finished our Mr. Beam Kickstarter campaign last week. Right now, we are here to share our experiences on crowdfunding a Kickstarter hardware project. And well, here we go. Well, first of all, has anybody thought about crowdfunding something? Nice.
So we are Thea and Philip. I'm Philip, that is Thea. We are software developers with a computer science background, and we're working as app developers and web developers for a few years, and somehow got bored. Thea's startup didn't go anywhere. I was working as freelancer, and we needed something new. And something new to learn and stuff like that. And we have never done hardware. We have no idea about crowdfunding, finances, marketing, sales, anything like that. So we thought, let's do a hardware project and go on Kickstarter.
Yeah, a little bit about our project. It was a Mr. Beam. Mr. Beam is a do-it-yourself laser cutter and engraver kit. It was born because we wanted to dig a little bit deeper into 3D printing, and we needed some kind of goal, some kind of project to not just humble around, to get a little bit more focused on the topic. So we decided we built one of these do-it-yourself laser cutters, first with a laser diode from a DVD burner, then later we upgraded it to a 1-watt class 4 laser. And we decided to open the hardware and the software. We didn't release very much yet. We already released a little bit of software, but there's still some cleanup to do in the hardware stuff.
We managed to send out the hardware rewards for all the backers just in the week before Christmas, and now we're like working on the backlog.
Everything was done with open source software, and open source hardware, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to open source our project as well, because we started October last year, and right now we just finished the whole Kickstarter thing, and we wouldn't have been that fast without all these things you see here, the OpenSCAD for engineering, the 3D parts, the KiCad for making electronic circuits, Inkscape, Gerbil, Octoprint, Arduino, you all know these projects, and we want to say a big thanks for everybody who contributed in that.
So we already said we chose Kickstarter, but in the beginning we didn't know where to go, on which platform to put it. And we looked at different ones, but we didn't really know if anybody wanted to have a home-built DIY laser cutter. So we went the safe way and chose just the biggest one because Kickstarter is the market leader, or was at the time. So to be safe, we choose Kickstarter. Which made everything a little bit harder because in Germany there's no Kickstarter representation, so we had to use Thea's brother, who is a green card. He has a green card and lives in the US, and set up all the things you need, like a bank account and Amazon Payments account and all those accounts, basically, and the company in the end. And that made it possible for us to have a Kickstarter project, started from Germany. And one big preparation was a working prototype, because at that time, Kickstarter only accepted hardware projects if you could present a working prototype. I think it changed in the meantime. But we worked like 2 months or something on the prototype, and then got all the bureaucratic stuff set up, and went on planning the whole thing and how we set up the campaign. So a big part was planning or estimating the costs we would have. So that's for example, the hardware, like the source materials that we bought, stepper motors, plastic parts, cables, everything. And also the money it takes to put all the things to get together. That's then the COGS, the cost of goods sold, as I've learned. And also we had to do a more prototyping and live from the money, or take into account the money we used to live off. And we almost forgot some other things like lawyers and tax advisors. And then you also have the fees you pay to Kickstarter and Amazon payments. And yeah, then there's taxes, everything. So, but we managed to, I think we did a pretty good job calculating the stuff. I mean, it's not like we got rich or something, but well, we didn't get poor either, or not poorer than before.
Well, as we mentioned, we didn't have any financial background, and it was one of the most difficult parts how to approach that.
Yeah. And luckily, we added big buffers, money and time-wise, like 20 to 30% in both. And we ended up using the money buffer like right away, spend it all. And yeah, also we took a little bit more time, used up the buffer in the time, and also, well, spent 1.5 months more than we planned. But it's not too bad for a Kickstarter project, I've heard. And then if you have all the costs together and you know what it's going to cost you to produce all the things and send it out, you need to think of shipping. Then you have to produce a number that you put on Kickstarter, and also think of a total funding sum that that you want to like. You don't want to, even if you can produce one kit for a reasonable like. Price, you don't want to start produce just one. Like you need maybe at least 60 to get it going, because it's not worth the work otherwise. And yeah, luckily we managed to get 4 times the money we asked for. So yeah, we were good on that.
Yeah, second task was to present the project on Kickstarter. Therefore, you need a video. That was quite difficult either. We read a lot about successful Kickstarter campaigns and advices and whatever. And the most interesting, or the most important part was you have to tell a story. You don't have to be professional, but it must be some kind of story behind it. And first of all, we made a video. It was almost ready. It was it was edited until the end, and we showed it some friends. We showed it to some friends, and it was the first feedback was so, well, yeah, that's nice, but I don't care about if the electronic circuit is working with 12 to 24 volts. And we had to admit, okay, that's perfectly true.
Yeah, we spent 2 months on the prototype, developing the technical details, and then we wanted to present all the things we thought of and how we built it and everything. But in the end, the people didn't care about how it works, more like what it and are more interested in what it does or what it can do.
And in that moment, you are so proud of what you have done, especially if you didn't have any knowledge about electronics before, and so you wanted to mention it. And well, we learned it. Okay, just drop it. It's not important at all. Tell the story and show the use cases. Show use cases is quite important, that the people are getting some idea quite early in the video what to do with the thing you are trying to promote here. Yeah. We revised the video and made a second iteration, and that was quite better.
Also in Kickstarter, I don't know about the other crowdfunding platforms. You can like preview before you actually publish the project to the world. You can preview the campaign and send it with a special link to your friends or colleagues or whatever. So we didn't know about that in the beginning. But that's very helpful, because it's the step to the last, and yeah, it's really helpful to show it to somebody else.
Well, then we started the campaign at 2 o'clock in the night because we thought, well, the US just has finished work then, and that might be a good start. We ended up without some sleep for several days. We got tons of emails and needed a lot of coffee to answer them all. And even if you make some FAQs, people are just continuing asking questions. That was a really, really exhausting time. First, we thought, well, in that time during the campaign, it was running 32 days, we could develop the software further and maybe make some research about third-party suppliers. But we really needed almost 24 hours for supporting all the questions, or for answering all the questions. Yeah, finally, after the campaign, you have to wait 3 to 4 weeks for the money, because first Amazon Payments is collecting that from the credit cards, from the backers. Sometimes the credit cards fail, then Amazon Payments is trying that another time. And well, it took some time until we really got the money and could order the stuff we needed. Another point is we got a lot of emails offering help. There were somehow really useful. Someone saying, hey, I'm a very friendly beta tester. If you need, just drop me a line. Another one is, the curious one, it was some kind of, hey, we are Kari Feinstein Style Lounge and we want to promote your product next to other big brands like Gucci and Dolce & Gabbana in the in the Golden Globe Awards. And you're so, what? I don't know if this fits here. And so we ignored them.
Yeah, then when we finally had the money, we had to like transfer it to Germany and finally could start shopping for all the good stuff. We bought maybe half of the stuff we ordered, or the parts in China through Alibaba and AliExpress. Very helpful there. It's a little bit... I was a little bit afraid before I ordered the motors there, because I was wiring like 7,000 euros to a bank account in Hong Kong, and I had was an email saying, yeah, we'll ship the motors after we receive the money. So, but we were lucky. We got all of our parts. Nothing really was bad or didn't arrive. The motors, actually, they sent us some wrong tracking number, and they thought, it's already delivered. We checked the tracking number. It was delivered somewhere in Singapore. I was really getting afraid. But they sent us different tracking numbers then.
It's kind of a strange feeling if you feel the responsibility of delivering some stuff to your backers who are so kind and give you such a money, and then the money is somewhere in Singapore. Yeah, then another very, very new task to us was to make an electronic shield for the Arduino. It's basically a combination of stepper drivers and the laser diode driver in our case. We made 4 prototypes because if you make one mistake in this part, it's not upgradable with a bug fix release or something. It has to work from the first production run. And
yeah, something that's really was really new to us being software developers. It's,
yeah.
you're not used to that.
And the worst case happened. We had the third prototype ready, tested, and it was super working well. But then the manufacturer of one very important IC said, hey, sorry, we discontinued this chip. And we said, what now? Then we had to find an alternative and had to do a 4th prototype, which luckily was quite good from at the first iteration.
Yeah, we were a little bit experienced at that point, so it went a little faster. We have quite a few plastic parts that we need for the gantry and for the whole device, basically. We thought about injection molding, but somehow the numbers weren't high enough, so it's too expensive or doesn't make sense for a small number. And we ended up 3D printing all this, the parts. It was 7,000 parts in the end, like 90 kilograms of plastic. And spent our four printers spent 4 months printing. We spent maybe, I don't know, 600 hours maintaining and, well, taking plastic parts off and cleaning the extruders and everything. So it's not the best idea to, well, to produce that many, to print, 3D print that many things, or, yeah, it's, well, it costs us some time.
Well, luckily we set some upper limit on our Kickstarter rewards, and we almost reached the limit. And in the end, I would say it was almost a little bit too high, because all these manual tasks we have had to do, which are not enough for mass production, but are way too much for two persons alone. For instance, cable trees, if you're crimping cables, cutting cables and whatever, soldering stuff, it just takes a lot of time. We had to deburr steel rods. We spent a lot of time finding a correct steel, or a good steel supplier who is delivering already the correct length of the piece of the steel. And well, in the end, we ended up hiring two students helping us, which was an additional money factor in the end. But without them, we wouldn't have made it.
Yeah. Also, the manual parts were really where the problems lied. So on the picture you see the frame parts of, you need four of them for each kit. We had 260 kits, and yeah, that was after cutting all of those and before drilling holes into them. So that was a good few weekends spent. Yeah, and also we spend a lot much time. The effort in for starting something like that, is the first time effort is really big. Like, you have to find all the suppliers, go through the Alibaba and check the ratings, and that sometimes people they promise you things that they can't deliver. Yeah, and the drilling was really bad.
Well, but in the end, we had some fun as well. First of all, we were invited to the FabCon 3D in Erfurt. That was a small 3D printing fair. It was quite nice. Then, some weeks later, we were invited at the Fab10 conference of all the Fab Labs in Barcelona. This was a really nice experience. There, we met some people from the government of Georgia. They invited us to an innovation camp in Georgia. It was some kind of nice holiday in between the whole Kickstarter campaign. We were invited to TM Wissen at Servus TV. That's well, it's the TV station of one of the biggest media companies, the Red Bull Media. Don't laugh. We went to the Maker Faire Rome, which was a really huge fair. It was impressive. And finally, we got an article in the Make magazine, formerly known as CT Hex. There we have the journalist sitting in the first row who wrote the article. And we made a little road trip through the US because we wanted to deliver some of the parts in person. And our Kickstarter campaign was based in the US.
We had the great idea that it would be cheaper to deliver, to not spend the money on the shipping to the US, but just deliver it ourselves. Wasn't. It didn't work.
And in the US, we made some very inspiring person, this guy. That's actually Lord British. Maybe one or another one knows him. No. He founded some nice software company, Origin, in the 90s. Okay. You know. Yeah, and after all, Well, it was a huge experience. I'm really glad that we have done it. You probably as well. It was kind of exhausting as well. Some takeaways. First of all, the cost calculation advance is super important. We did our best, but it was not enough. But well, compared to other Kickstarter projects, we have made it somehow quite good. We are only 2 months delayed. We are around about 0-0 right now. I would recommend, if someone was doing some kind of crowdfunding, think about scaling before, even if you are not sure about if your idea will be a success or not. Just be prepared for that.
Yeah, about the cost calculation. Now, there are Kickstarter, or we heard from Kickstarter projects or crowdfunded projects, they ran out of money just at the end, just before they wanted to ship the rewards. They didn't have the money to spend it on shipping anymore. So, yeah.
Bad timing. Then the 3D printing, it scales to some point, but at some point you need at least one person full time to maintain the printers. Even though our printers had some auto leveling bed and were quite time saving in the calibration, therefore. Then we underestimated the duration of the manual tasks like crimping cables, like cutting cables, and additionally the duration of finding the right suppliers. That was a really big time consumer. Then another advice would be just to think what do we want to do with the project afterwards. Is it just a project like we thought in the beginning, or do you have plans to make some kind of company out of it, or to make the project open source, or to get it growing somehow, or something like that? It would have been good if we had done something like that before.
Yeah.
And well, we are rich in experience right now, but we are not rich in terms of money. But we made it, and it was kind of fun. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you both very much for this very interesting first-hand speech or talk. Now, as usual, we have some questions. Please line up with your questions over here. We have two microphones over here, two microphones over there. Please just make a row. We start with IRC okay. questions.
Sorry, no questions from IRC. Network is down.
Okay, so we start with number one, please.
Okay, cool project. Congratulations. Just wondering, how much effort you put into actually marketing your campaign once it was online, and how you went about that?
We didn't put any effort in marketing our campaign. We put it online. It was we reached our goal in 48 hours. It was mostly the visitors coming from Kickstarter recently launched projects. So we were very lucky at that point. And then we thought, okay, we may do some marketing if the campaign is slowing down during the time or during the period. But in the end, we almost reached our upper limit of devices to produce, so there was no necessity to marketing something.
So yeah, we didn't do any marketing, but we planned when to start the campaign. I don't know. I'm not sure if that helped, but I do think so. So okay. we did it, launch it in the US when people came home from work, also on a Friday, I think, yeah. And things like that. But no marketing after that.
Okay. Well, we published some things on our social networks. That was it.
Okay, cool. And what was the limit on the project? How many devices did you ship?
240.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Number two, please.
My question is, how many emails did you have to reply to, or people you had correspondence with via email versus those that actually then participated, contributed?
Oh, maybe. I mean, we have like 350, 360 backers, I would say 5 to 6 times that.
5, 6 times. All right.
Yeah,
that was like that.
Thank you. Number 4, please.
Yeah, in the first place, many thanks for this awesome story. One question. In the last slide, you advised to think before about what you want to do, if this is only a project or you want to take steps further. And then you mentioned that you, in the first place, thought only of it as a project. But you said in the first place. So, yeah, what is the next step for you guys?
Well, the next step is to grow the company. We have a company right now. We try to get venture capital. We had, after the Kickstarter campaign, we had 2 to 3 requests per day for a device. We couldn't deliver that, so we thought, okay, let's just try out what is going on then.
Okay, but you now thought of where this is gonna end, where you wanna end?
For me, it was like, let's do the Kickstarter, and then I plan on going back to my normal work. Yeah,
okay.
Like that.
Yeah,
that okay. was the problem.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Number 1, please.
Hello. I was wondering why you chose Kickstarter over some other crowdfunding servers, and why only Kickstarter and not some like 3 crowdfunding services.
Okay. Well, we have chosen Kickstarter because it's just a market leader. It is huge. We had the chance because my brother lives in the US. Otherwise, we would have probably been using Indiegogo. But we just read the 2013 numbers from Kickstarter. They had some slides. They were very impressive. And so we thought, okay, Kickstarter would it be. To make some crowdfunding parallel on platforms, I think it's a huge effort. And it was already too much on Kickstarter the first week. So I'm not sure if it's a good idea if you don't have a big team behind you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Number 2, please.
Could you say a few more words about the legal side of things? So you did that as a private person, not as a company. What about regulations and liabilities? You might run into someone burns his eye out with it and wants to sue you with it, or the FCC tells you that this is not regulated or whatever. So could you just say a few more words about people interested in producing hardware, what they have to pay attention to, or perhaps they don't have to?
So we do have a company because of the liability issues. We did do that, and we did the project as a DIY kit, like Bausatz in German, which shifts the liability to the person or some part of the liability to the person assembling the kit. That was, and also takes away the requirement to comply to all the regulations like CE or waste, electronic waste, and everything.
So you founded the company before you ran the Kickstarter. So which legal form did you choose to do that?
An LLC, a limited liability company. You can do that via an online service within an hour.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Number 1, please.
Okay, I've got another question, if you'll permit me. Now, do you feel like you've got a sort of community of users, a kind of audience through which you might try and launch similar products in the future? Or do you see it kind of as being the end of this project and then you'd start a different kind of venture?
We are right now trying to build a community around our Mr. Beam project. We have some quite very active members in the community.
Yeah, that was the reason why we wanted to do it as open source, so people can we can decide on if we want to continue it or not, and people can just work on their own on it and extend it. We really want people to work with it and do improve it or develop attachments or I don't know the word.
Did you
improve it? Yeah.
Sorry. Did you learn anything from your backers kind of during the campaign? Did you hear about any feature requests or tweaks,
yes,
like what color you should paint it or stretch goals or anything like that?
Yes, a lot. Okay. A lot. You have to somehow you have to just block it, and others are quite nice ideas, so you have somehow to manage it.
Yeah, you also learn a lot about use cases, people who want to use what they want to use it for. Okay. And okay, let's stop.
Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt, but
meet you out there.
So there's enough time outside to meet this guy. So please give a round of applause for this very good speech.